Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment, rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? Record and listen. Example, one side, I would love to share what's going on with me, wanting to connect. Second side, I'm not going to answer any of his questions, Rebel. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine. What you seeing?
Hi. Well, I'm going to take you off speakerphone.
You sound great.
Oh, good. Okay, thanks. So I wanted the focus to be receiving my own love for myself. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, ego, it felt like it was almost too broad it was hard to be clear about what exactly I'm practicing. unworthiness came in. But then after that, I realized ego is that I'm actually not there. I'm past that in a way, that I don't have to be, that I didn't have to be drug into old ego stories. So that one, the unworthiness one didn't
May I stick? May I? At this juncture?
Thank you. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
All of that is going on currently. So you picked that focus. And everything that you've said so far was coming from a voice.
Yeah.
That's too broad. That's a voice, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Really know then there's a voice, right? Then, how about unworthiness? Yeah, there's a voice. And to be careful that you don't need to be dragged into old ego can also be a voice.
Yeah, it is.
Because all of that is what's going on as you attempt to focus on this particular choice.
Receiving love for myself, from myself. Yeah, so I guess it just kind of shows how much conditioning doesn't want me to do that at all. I mean,
I think that the really important subtlety here is how voices can slide by us because we don't see them as voices. They're just what's true.
Well, that's what I was catching on with the unworthiness. I'm not unworthy, but maybe I guess it depends.
Well, it still came up.
That, but
it still came up. That's
but
the
it
point.
Came up as an old. Yeah, right. But it's an old thing, and I could say, well, no, that's not the thing. That's not going. Well, you're right. Yeah, it did come up, but
And so that process that it threw you into, well, that's old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not true for me anymore. Those are voices. Yeah. So there's a duality.
Definitely.
That is still operating, even though it's not so front and center as it used to be. It's what we talk about with ego all the time. It's the reason we have to practice for the rest of our lives. Because if we don't, it's still lurking there. It's still going to throw out that hook and see if you're going to bite. And so realizing, even though it gets more subtle, there you are. Okay, all right, well, let's take a look. Not only at the issue of unworthiness, but that process of trying to pull us into whatever it thinks might work under these circumstances.
Yeah. And then I just go back to what the practice was I wanted to do, which is receiving love.
just mm-hmm. receiving love. Well, and what we get to see is what happens to us instead.
Yes. I know.
Right, because and then, which is, well, it's a really important piece of it, Christine, because what ego wants us to believe is that we're trying to get somewhere. But what we're really doing is getting to see how we're stopped from being where we already are. And here is where we actually want to be.
Yeah.
Yep,
definitely. Oh, mm-hmm. so, well, then how do I, yeah, there's, like, I'm on this edge of, like, so much resistance or something. You know, don't look
yep.
at that. No, don't look at that. No.
Yep.
No love. No.
Yes. And so the love can be an appreciation for someone who is so devoted to waking up and ending suffering.
Yeah.
Not that love for Christine.
Oh, yeah.
From life, from Christine, whoever the heck that is, looks a certain mm-hmm. way or feels a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just choosing
yeah.
love, which is the broader picture of what you're doing. It's not separating Christine out, because what
no.
you want to be is in love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's a good way to make it a little bit smaller or something. Not that we would keep it small, but just to get in with, okay, I'm loving the practitioner. I'm practicing love for the practitioner.
Or, yes, or I'm practicing love.
Yeah.
Because if we get specific about mm-hmm. a process like that, we're fodder. You know, it's got us. Because now you're not. Now you are. How does that look? How does that feel? Did you do it? Did you not do it? We're right back. Now, these are all good voices to write down, right? These dualistic voices.
Yeah.
But what I project you're really going for is not separating this human being called Christine out from everything else. You just want to live in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. All right.
I'll keep practicing.
Well
that.
Done. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Christine.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Christine. Jay, the thing I was seeing in what you were pointing to is that when we say something like receiving love, I want to receive love, we had this someone in group once who said, coming back to the breath, and use the gesture of coming back to the breath at the level of the head versus coming back to the breath at the level of the hara, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so this practice of receiving love is, you know, it sounds good, and yet it happens. And what that process is the mind taking over what that means, how that looks, what I have to do,
yes.
what I can't
yes.
do, what right? And so we actually mm-hmm. lose dropping into to being here, which is receiving love. And so we're
yes.
attempting to do something rather than be here.
Yes.
And not recognizing
well stated.
That we're caught in that process.
Right. And that the ego that we can catch on to is that you need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a conversation about how it needs to be specific, or how you don't know that, or whatever, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Risa in Amsterdam.
Hello, Risa. What are you seeing?
Hi. So I'm seeing that, I actually chose to look at receiving praise because it was something I was already kind of looking at, and I was excited to spend more time looking at it. And
mm-hmm.
in that, I was struck by something that someone said on the show, or that you said in response to someone about, like, anxiety coming up as a reaction, as actually, like you said, what if that's enlightenment? Like, what if that's the energy to transcend the conditioning of the moment? Which I thought was cool because it showed me that somehow that praise is a like external affirmation of your adequacy. And
of course, actually what it is somebody else's projection.
Right.
Right, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
And that led me to looking at relationships, and I just sort of saw that I had this expectation that people will just like the right people to love me will just like already know how to love me. Like it's just sort of this like prepackaged thing when like nothing else like seems to operate on those rules. So like, I don't know why that would, but yeah, I've been really, well, that keeps coming back through this.
Yeah,
process.
Risa. And you know, from the time we're little tiny people, that's the message that we get. There is one person for you, and that one person is perfect. And when you find that one person, you will live happily ever after. That's been the propaganda forever. It keeps society humming along, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, when it doesn't work, well, that's because there's something wrong with you. Because clearly, it's true. So why can't you, what's the, yeah? And
yeah.
So what you're getting to see is, what if that's not true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then somehow that just kind of takes me back to the conversation that led me there, which is that then kind of everything is an affirmation of your adequacy, because either you're inadequacy or you're in an emotion, which is like sensation plus story, which is, but the sensation is just like the energy of the adequacy.
Yes. Yes. I mean, so we have leapt from the reality that you don't know how to love her. So how in the world would anyone else be successful at that? To a place of non-separation in which she, being everything, loves everything and is loved by everything. Where a concept like adequacy doesn't even exist. You can
yeah.
see that, well, in a non-separate reality, why would that even come up?
Right. It's just not, you're not having a conversation, so it's not part of the conversation.
Precisely. So it's kind of what we were just looking at with Christine, right? You're either in love or you're not. If you're
yeah.
in love, then you're loved and you love, or you're not, and so you don't and you aren't.
Right, which I'm I've often heard us talk about love as a process, but what's mm-hmm. striking me now is also love is a state.
Yes, love is what
is. It is a state of being, yeah.
Yes, it is what is, yeah. And so, again, with the exercise that we're doing, what we're attempting to see is what are all the beliefs and assumptions, the stories, that cause me to turn attention away from being love into something that ego can use to create an artificial dualistic reality in which it will rule and I will suffer.
Yeah.
So the first one that it sounds like you got with this is if someone loves me, if they should do it perfectly all the time. If not, then it means they don't love me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
or they're just the wrong person.
They're the wrong person, right, which would eliminate us from our own life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Which is kind of a fun thing to see, isn't it? We would be the first person that we would have to conclude, yeah, well, you're the wrong person to be in my life, Sherry, because you don't love me perfectly unconditionally all the time. So clearly, which is a really interesting thing to consider, because what that points us back to is, so that's ego.
Right, like who is Sherry anyway, as you said to Christina.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, keep having fun, huh?
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks, Risa. It's amazing the places we can go in this exploration, Sherry.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, as far as anybody wants to go.
Right. Well, and there's that movement from the specific to the universal that is so very helpful. And I love the way you phrased it. It doesn't matter what the content is, but we're always looking to see so that we could be aware of how we're moved out of where we are, how we're moved out of where we are, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, in the sentence there. How we're moved out of being and into a belief that we need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The biggest block to receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom in Texas.
Hello, Tom. What are you seeing?
So, like callers before, I call this the great debate. And I picked up a lot of new things in this one. I've noticed in the focuses that I will practice, my behavior has been that I will start slowly and end strong. And I was noticing why that starting slowly happened with this focus and reading it. And I read the focus for the month, and a good voice comes in, a nice authentic nature voice comes in, saying, oh, yes, you know, I've noticed that I've gotten better at certain things about this focus because of practice. I did not know until practice that receiving a compliment or not receiving a compliment was self-hate. So I've learned and grown, and so that's a beautiful place to be for a second, and then ego starts in with the great debate, I call it, about, well, you can't feel good. That's egotistical. And then the next voice comes in and says, well, that's not egotistical. It's hard to describe the debate, but I know exactly what's going on. So it's ego versus ego about being good and feeling bad about feeling good. And so it didn't this time because I caught it. It can throw me into a couple of days of delay until the great debate is over, and then I can move on with the focus. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to underline that because the important thing that it's accomplished there is training you not to feel good. Not to be appreciative and grateful, right? Because that's egotistical. You can't be happy with the work that you're doing and what you're seeing. You can't be grateful for the practice that you're doing. That's egotistical. And so that would be plenty for it with each session to reinforce that belief that you need to be watched really carefully, Tom, because you have a tendency to be egotistical. And that voice in your head is going to tell you, it's there to tell you when you're sliding over into that line, when you're sliding over that line into egotistical.
It's so great. And you, in a book y'all wrote, it's you already are egotistical. You know, you already are. Yes, I love that statement.
Yes.
It's like, yes.
Yeah, we
so
are.
It's,
when identified yeah, it's, with ego, boy, are we.
We are. Right. So I'm I'm having a very good time, and I am very thankful.
Good. Good. Yeah, because if we're not enjoying ourselves in this, sooner or later, and sooner for most people, we'll get talked out of doing it. And so to realize that what the Buddha taught is it's possible to wake up and end suffering in one's lifetime, and that the ending suffering is the big thing we want to focus on there. Because when once suffering is ended, what's there? Joy. All right, then let's find that wherever it is and track it down and become its best friend.
Yes, second by second by second.
By, exactly so, yeah. Thank you, Tom.
So thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go happy.
Thanks, Tom.
I am.
Oh, Sherry, that felt like such an important discussion, because what I saw in that was the ultimate negation. The experience of being here feels good. So how else are we stopped from receiving the goodness equivalent to feeling good that we are than being told that that's an egotistical feeling?
Yeah.
It's an ultimate when receiving.
Yeah, when what is really true is that being focused on, if we were talking about it the other day, because being the little whining, complaining quad of ailments and, you know, that is egocentric. Constantly focused on what's wrong with me and how do I need to improve? And what does that say about me? And what do they think of me? And what do I do about me? Mm-hmm. Talk about egocentric, but we're so brainwashed into believing that's the good, right person way to be. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you're going to just be enjoying your life and be a blessing to everybody, and that's just too egocentric to be imagined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hello, Ramita. What are you seeing?
Oh, goodness. Well, I was amazed at the conversation yesterday about uncovering another layer of voices that were actually authentic voices. I've had that experience this session. Mm-hmm. I chose the focus, which seems to be a pretty popular one, of receiving life's love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a while there was this debate about, oh, you can't do that, you know, for all the reasons. It's too big, it's out of reach, you're not the right person. And I realized that all of those voices sort of could go under the heading of self-hate. And it seemed like, you know, I had to look at that and see that for what it was before anything else became available. And then once something else became available, there was an authenticity that it broke me open.
Yes. I was just texting that to somebody last night, that we don't have to worry about this stuff. You know, if we are going in an unhelpful direction, we'll get that information. We don't have to be in charge of it. We don't have to be 5 years old and figure out what is going to make mommy and daddy upset with us so that we can learn to listen to a voice in our head tell us not to do that before they get upset. We don't have to do that anymore. We can trust life, the intelligence that animates, the wisdom, love, and compassion that is us, to inform us in a very kind, non-judgmental, compassionate, gentle way when we've just slid into a ditch.
Yes, and the form that took for me was, you know, there was a questioning, did I choose a reasonable focus, you know, starting to doubt, and maybe I should do something smaller, something more specific. And then I had
And did you write those down as voices, Ramita?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're all captured. Good. And and then I had a practice call where, as I was talking about my process, I realized, you know, just keep looking. That's all I had to do, is just keep looking, not to make any premature, you know, decisions about what needed to be done, what's the right thing, what's the right focus. Just keep watching. And through participating in the radio show, you know, listening to Sangha, doing the exercises, it's opened up. And oh my goodness, this is fabulous.
Yes. Just a little word to the wise here. Don't stop paying that kind of close attention, because the ego voices are quick studies. And so what people will report regularly is that when they start doing practice, then the voices can learn to talk practice. Okay, so they can learn to sound like, to mimic the authentic voice of clarity. So we always want to, whether it's on the yay or nay side of the duality, we want to live in, is that so? Rather than turning any of it into a doing.
Well, yes, thank you. And I have seen that happen in my practice so many times. I actually probably had decades of living in believing that that voice of the pseudo Zen was guiding me, and it was guiding me, and that was
it was misleading. We just talked about.
yeah, but it's like there's been an opportunity to be receiving signals from life where it seems, and I know there's still all of the ditches to fall into if I lose focus or if I get distracted, but the sensations, you know, the sight, sounds, sensations, smells coming in as signals from life, as vehicles of life's love, there's an opportunity when I'm calibrated to receive those with less interference.
That's it. You said the magic word, didn't you? That's what we're doing constantly, is calibrating to this here now, right? To that space between the thoughts, to outside the head and into the heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very good. That's exciting.
What an adventure. Thank you so much.
What an adventure. Aren't we fortunate that we are the ones getting to have this adventure in this lifetime?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like this big playground. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ramita.
Thanks, Ramita. Sherry, we could squeeze in one more caller, or shall we? We have about 2 minutes. Shall we attempt it?
Oh, no, because there's no way I'm going to stay to 2 minutes. You can't trust me with that kind of thing. No.
No. All right, then. Well, here's our assignment.
Okay.
If I can hang on 1 second. Yes. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I let him in on my financial situation, it's a connection on his terms, and that feels unfair. If I don't tell him what he wants to know, he's going to think I don't care about him and be sad. I don't want that. Either way, I don't have the connection I am seeking. Assignment, what are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
That's my favorite. Heads you lose, tails you lose.
Yeah.
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 All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks to everybody.
Week.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, huh?
Yes. Go happy.
Go happy.